Disposable Heroes Podcast is proudly brought to you by Iconic Farms. Enjoy the high. Life is a series of moments, a constant ebbing and flow of contrasting seasons. At Iconic Farms, they understand that the seasons come with highs and lows. Although the lows do serve their purpose as a time to plant seeds of new growth, we thrive for the moments of harvest. The moments where ordinary places, ideas, and people become extraordinary. Their hope is that the seeds they plant inspire you to envision and find your higher state of being. Whether it be in the mountains, the ocean, or under a vast array of stars, when it comes to you, you'll know. Enjoy the high. Check them out at iconicfarms.com. The fam is real. Hoorah!
This episode of Disposable Heroes is brought to you by Skivvy Premium Essentials, home of the world's most comfortable boxer briefs, undershirts, and socks. Use promo code DISPOSABLE15 at skvi.com for 15% off your first order. Or take the leap on a recurring subscription and get 25% off every single order you make. We're back at NAMM today with August Burns Red drummer Matt Greiner talking Warped Tour, the Zildjian family, Vic Firth himself, and Ween. Not everybody's heard of Ween, as we'll learn in this episode, but they're Yasad's favorite band of all time because of their versatility and innovation. Similarly, not everyone's heard of Skivvy either, but it's Yasad's favorite underwear brand because of their versatility and innovation. But don't take Yasad's word for it, and don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself at skvi.com and enjoy 15% off your first order of boxer briefs, undershirts, or socks by using promo code DISPOSABLE15 at checkout. And now, enjoy this conversation with Matt Greiner.
So let's jump right into it, Matt.
Sounds good, dude.
Man, thank you so much for the time. I know how crazy NAMM is.
And, absolutely.
I'm sure how crazy it is for you, so I appreciate the time, my
brother. Yeah, man, I'm pumped to be here. It was good to see you 2 days ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Dude, you absolutely you're like a bag of hammers back there, just fucking throwing it down, brother. But I want to jump right into it. Warped Tour.
Yep.
I've got a long history with Warped Tour. I know you got a history with Warped Tour as well. I actually think we might have done one together in 2010, really? Maybe?
We did 08 for 2 weeks, 11 for the whole thing, 11. 13 and 15.
It was 11 that we did it together.
11? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we were on the opposite stage as you, but I remember, I think it was the first time I'd heard of your band.
Yeah.
And I went over and I'd watch you here and there, and yeah, man, what a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And Warped Tour is no longer a thing.
No.
But we are still a band.
Yeah.
Fortunately. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's quite a blessing, let me tell you, to play drums for a living, man.
Oh, wow. I called my mom yesterday. You know, she's actually out here on vacation. And she's like, how was it? You know, you were working so hard to, you know, prepare for that. And I didn't really know how to describe it. I was like, well, picture a small room full of everyone that I consider to be like friends of, you know, a lot of friends, a lot of people I didn't know, but just all the drummers were giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was in a room full of giants.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I kind of understand that. And I was like, no, you don't, Mom, but it was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how does it feel to be one of the giants in the room?
I mean, I'm just honored to be like on the Zildjian roster.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because
no,
I love this company. Is this for Zildjian and Vic Firth? Because I'm going to make it about them.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. Okay.
Go ahead. I have my 10-year Zildjian certificate for being an artist for 10 years.
I just got that.
Yeah, because in 2007, Cyrus from Newfound Glory introduced me to Kirsten.
Yeah.
So I've been a proud Zildjian artist forever. So let's make this all about
I like that, because then it's going to be authentic and genuine, because I generally consider them family. Like I was telling Sarah, who's the one that signed me in like 07 or 08, that whenever someone talks badly about Zildjian, which doesn't happen often, but I've heard it, you know, when people are comparing symbols and stuff, I get mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's weird. It doesn't happen to me with any other brands, but with Zildjian, I get mad because it's like family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's number one, they're family. Number two, I want them to succeed. Like, I want to do everything in my power to make them a profitable company.
Yeah.
Because I know the people that work here and the people that make it run, it's not massive.
Yeah.
It's a big company, but you know, well, as well as me, there's like a couple people that make it run.
You meet Katie, and she's 15th generation Zildjian or something like absolutely crazy. And you, like, that just goes to, and I don't know how many times I've
repeated the story that Zildjian is the oldest independent family-owned company to exist in America. I know it's a Turkish company, but as far as family-owned independent companies in the United States of America, it's the oldest one.
That's insane.
And so it's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's that pride, but it's also like, you know, you're in your band with all your brothers.
Yeah.
And that's like family. And you have not only a business tie to them, but like the other two guys in my band, we grew up together. We formed the band in 97. So I don't only have a business tie to them. I have a family tie to them.
Yep.
It's like a brotherhood. So it's like with your band, it's the same thing with Zildjian. It's like, it's like, it's not, and that's why, that's why there's emotion involved, like you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I get mad. I get mad. Do not talk badly about Zildjian.
Yeah.
And if you have something bad to say, tell them and they'll make it better.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's what John said, the CEO said yesterday at a meeting. He's like, listen, if something is not working, tell us and we'll make it better.
Yeah.
That's the way Vic Firth was. Vic Firth, the guy Vic Firth, you know, he would often like go to stores around the world and he'd walk in, not say who he was, buy a pair of sticks and like test them out to see how they were so that he wasn't like hand selecting them.
Yeah.
And then at the end he'd say, hey, by the way, I'm Vic Firth.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, cool. This thing isn't cool about your company. He'd be like, cool. Tell me as much as you can. I want to know. And he'd write it all down and fix it. You know, that's awesome.
And that's an analogy for, I think, like what can equate to greatness when people are so open to listen to that kind of critique and criticism
it's hard to accept criticism.
Oh, totally.
It kind of sucks, you know, but you're going to get better. Whereas on the contrary, if you don't accept criticism, it's like you're never going to improve unless you think you need to get better.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
How important is, you talked about being yourself and being real. How important is being yourself drumming?
Man, that's why I play drums, you know?
Yeah.
I can be myself. I can do exactly what I want to do. There's Matt Garska right there, you know? The man, the myth, the legend.
they're playing tonight?
They're playing pretty soon.
Nice.
If you're listening to this, I'm just kidding. You missed it.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. You would have loved it.
Dude, it was incredible, wasn't it?
Well, it's like I grew up surfing, so the joke is always like, should have been here yesterday. It was firing yesterday.
I love that. It's amazing.
Where are you from originally?
From Pennsylvania.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. What, my favorite band of all time is from New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Who would that be?
Name starts with a W. Ween.
Who?
Ween. W-E-E-N.
Ween.
Yeah.
Is your favorite band.
Of all time.
Really?
Absolutely.
Didn't know they were from New Hope, and I didn't know they were anyone's favorite band.
Yes. I love that. That is so amazing. That was, holy shit. That was the most amazing thing. And knowing the kind of band they are, they would probably love that.
They would love
it. Yeah. No, check it out. No, look at this. I got Bluetooth tattooed on my foot. That's what a big fan I am. No, I honestly,
that's incredible.
In a real world, if you were to dig into Ween, they're like, musically, they're like the Beatles of our time, because they can play everything from a brilliant country song, which they have a country album out, to a reggae song.
I know, they're very dynamic.
Yeah.
And I really didn't mean that, you know.
I got what you're saying.
I'm sure there's a couple people who consider them
their
favorite.
There's only one
band
left now, because you met one. No, but on the real though, Claude Coleman, their drummer, is
sick.
He's an absolute hammer.
He's sick. I mean,
full ambidextrous. But anyway, so also a good friend's band, CKY, is from Pennsylvania.
They're
as
friends
well
of yours?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the original lineup, because our first record deal my band Pepper ever got was from Volcom Entertainment.
Okay.
And CKY was on Volcom Entertainment right around the same time.
Okay.
When like Chad Ginsberg was wearing the masks. And he was he had the red
was
flying
this,
V.
Was this 20 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. 2001, 2002.
Oh, yeah. I was just born around then. So that's.
When were you born?
Just kidding. Up there. I was born in 85.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You do look young, though.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a good thing.
I'm fine with that.
Speaking back to the best cymbal company ever in the world, and one of the best companies ever in the world,
100%. Children,
what is really making your motor run right now, and what are you using in your Zildjian setup?
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I've been playing drums for 17 years, and I've never loved playing more than I do now.
Why?
I'm not exactly sure what happened, but like, I'm in love with drumming in a new way.
It's funny. I was going to ask you a question of how your relationship with drums has changed over such a long like life of drumming slash career.
Yeah, it's over half my life.
And so you're more in love with the drums now than you've ever been.
Ever. Like, I'm here and I'm walking out, I'm like, wow, that's cool. Wow, that's cool. Whereas, like, 10 years ago, I was like, I don't really care.
So
that
maybe
much.
Around that Warped Tour time in 2011 that
I think
we
I started
did that
to get burnt out a little bit.
And
you
that seems to be the common thing why people do get jaded or fall out of love with anything is just because they're burnt out, right? Was that
they burn
too
out.
Much touring?
A lot of touring. But I think what it came down to was I had to remember how hard it was to make $150. I'd forgotten.
Yeah,
and I got
you had
a job.
Appreciate it again.
I had to appreciate it again. I got a job landscaping at home, which
That'll
I
do
still
it.
Do.
That'll do it.
And I'm like, wow, it's hard to make $150, and it's really not that hard playing drums in a band. And then you start to fall in love with it in that way, which is kind of superficial, but then it goes deeper.
Yeah,
it takes roots where you're like, wow, like drums have always been there for me. And that's where my deep love for drums is now, and that it's just never failed me. I've always loved drumming, and I've never loved it more than I do now, you know? And it's because it's always been there. I can play when I'm happy. I can play when I'm sad. I can play when I'm angry. I can play when I'm feeling nothing. I can play because I want a challenge. I can, you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's inspiring, and it makes me fall in love with drums hearing you say that more, you know what I mean?
Are you burnt out?
What? No, you know what's a funny thing is I actually had an injury surfing in September, and coincidentally is right before I did the sit-in gig for Seth Meyers, and so I had to fucking not. Oh, thanks, brother. No, I still can't believe it happened.
Woo, like, that's like a pinch me.
To Lee, I know Lee. You got to get on there. You got to get on that show. It's awesome.
Yeah. Elon, how are you, brother? How's it doing, brother? Always a pleasure. How you doing, brother?
Elon Rubin, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah.
You talk about a hammer. Wow.
You talk about a hammer.
Yeah.
That dude rips. Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Yeah. I mean.
You talk about ambidextrous.
Oh.
Like, the guy plays open-handed always, right?
Incredible. Yeah. He's this open hand over here, and he hits so hard.
Yeah. I talked to him last year, and he was talking, because I was like, hey, how's it, like, playing with Trent Reznor, like, the Nine Inch Nails, like, must be, like, pretty stern guy. Pretty high pressure gig. And he's like, yeah, no, he wants everything perfect, but you know, like, I've got it all down because, like, I'm so well rehearsed, basically. Said it's like he's not worried going into it because he's so practiced and so rehearsed. And I'm like,
is that right?
Yeah. And the confidence that I'm just like, fucking hey, man,
seriously,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, he said it doesn't really bother him. Like, he's like, yeah, he's super, like, super by the book. He wants everything perfect, but at the same time, he's completely prepared for it. So
and that dude, so I didn't know that about him, that he's that kind of person, because he's also really good at spontaneity.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he has such good flow, man.
Totally.
I mean, that's one of the monsters of our day.
Totally. No, absolutely. I totally agree. And funny story too, when I last talked to him, you ever heard of his old band called Denver Harbor?
No.
Yeah, he's like some band. I think it was like a pop punk band named Denver Harbor, and he hit this one with me. He's like, you remember a show it was at a bar in Las Vegas in like 2003? He's like, yeah, we opened up for you guys.
Really?
Denver Harbor, yeah. And his brother, I was like, oh my god, like, it's that shit you talk about. You're like, I can't believe, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
What a fucking weird, like, life.
It's a
like,
small world.
Yeah.
It's but such a small world.
Back to my original, before I got lost with my crazy train of thought, so I went to go do that Seth Meyers show. I got injured. I cut my Achilles tendon surfing 2 days before it. I was able to pull it off the show. John Goodman was the guest. All these people that my mind was just blown. I'm like, I can't even believe I'm here and this is happening. And I'm able to pull it off with the 1 1/4 Achilles. But point of my story is I wasn't
able.
Was
it your hi-hat foot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God. I turned my hi-hat outward and put my foot out straight, and it's just my heel.
So you didn't have the bend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Because that natural, like, walking motion was just gone.
Yeah.
My Achilles. Yep. But my point being was I just got back in the water last week. I wasn't able to surf for 4 months, but I fucking fell in love with the drums. Like, there's no tomorrow. I like I got hip to Mike Johnston's YouTube channel and everything because Ben's trying to hook me up with him to be on the podcast.
Yep.
And so all this time, I almost like took it as a blessing that I got hurt.
Yeah.
Because I fell in love with the drums so hugely. I was like unlocking all these secret levels per se. Just the way Johnston explains shit, I'm just like, God damn
I know.
That was how you do that?
He is very good at communicating. He could talk about, you know, the best way to go to the store and buy toilet paper and where to get the best price. And you're going to be like, oh, my gosh. Like, I could listen to that 10 times in a row.
You just blew my fucking mind by telling me where to get toilet paper.
Yeah. Like, I kind of want to go do it now just to see if it works.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, Mike Johnston, for the Mike'sLessons.com.
Yeah, Mike'sLessons.com.
Where you learn how to buy toilet paper most efficiently.
Yeah, and we're not, it's Mike'sLessons.com. Just lessons in life.
Dude, we should have him branch out. He's too niche. It's just about drums.
Yeah.
He needs to communicate like self-help, man. That's a big world.
That's a huge world. Oh, hey, mindfulness. It's a huge deal these days. hey, what do you do some teaching yourself?
I do some teaching too. Yeah. So, I love teaching.
Yeah, is that whether it be studio, playing live, or teaching, which do you prefer out of the three?
That is a good question.
If you could only do one for the rest of your life, or is that too crazy to answer because drumming is the most awesome thing in the world?
I don't think it'd be teaching because I like to play too much.
Gotcha.
I think it would be like being at home practicing or writing for a tour for the studio. That time is when I'm like most in love with it.
Because
like,
there's so much inspiration and creativity coming?
My strength is not playing the drums necessarily. My strength is creating the parts that I then play. Like, I have the ideas.
And it just so happens you can play them perfectly too.
That part took work. The creative part of my brain's always been firing. And it's just like, how do I implement all of this into a practical, tangible, pragmatic format? Oh, drums.
Yeah.
That's how it's worked, you know? But that's always been my strength. Like, I hear something, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't play that. Practice. I got it. Cool.
Can you see it in your head, even though you can't play it at the time? You can see what's going on?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the sticky, maybe, but I can tell, like, there's 1,000 drummers playing right now, but if they were, like, at 5 or fewer, I'd be like, okay, I know what's going on there, and I know why he's doing it, you know? Not that I could play it, but I know how it's done.
Yeah.
And then the fun I have is, like, okay, here's where I'm at, and here's where I want to be, right? So there's a deficit there. So how do you get to there? You practice. Now you've gotten better. Oh, and by the way, you can also play this. So now that goes to here. Now you think of something else. So I'm constantly trying to close that gap. And it's that challenge that is making me a better drummer, number one. And number two is the reason I love it. Because I like to be challenged. If I had perfected drumming, which is an impossibility, but if you had done it, it'd be like, all right, whatever.
Totally.
I'm done.
Is there such a thing as bad practice? Like practicing bad habits, is there any way to work backwards through practice, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. I want to say there probably is, like, if you're leaning over and you're hurting your back or, like, you know, you're holding you're really gripping your sticks and putting a lot of tension on your body, I would say that's probably not a good idea. But in general, I found, just get to your kit and just start playing and smile. So I have three S's. Smile, which means play and actually smile. Like, it's kind of weird. Hold the sticks however you want, sit there and play. Second is suck, which is play something you can't play, but don't stick with that for too long. And then shred, which is play something you couldn't play, but now you can and it's really impressive. That way you're not starting with something you suck at and ending with something you suck at. That's what most people do. They start with something they can't play and they end with that. Well, that's gonna make you never wanna play again.
That's not very inspiring.
Right, so like you start, just, you remember why you started. Just no worry about technique or pressure or who's doing this and that or video, nothing. And then you go into the, okay, I'm gonna get better. And then, I texted you about 12 minutes ago and you did text me back.
I tried to call you back, but you're busy with a microphone in front of you.
This is Ash Soad.
That's the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. I'm just going to talk about Ash Soad a little bit because this podcast is cool, but it just got a lot cooler. Ash Soad in the house.
We're going to get him on here soon.
Oh, well, hopefully I'm going to be doing this properly, all right, at some point.
this podcast?
Yeah, well,
I sure hope so.
Lovely job.
Do you guys want him on here? Yes, they do. They do. Yep.
Yes, they do.
Yep. There's a couple people out there.
Oh, come back and do it then. I'll see you later.
I'll see you soon, dude. Love you.
Love you.
Oh, another, like you said, the room full of giants.
The giant.
Yeah. So
let's just talk about the giant.
Yeah, I know.
So if you haven't heard him, check him out. He's an incredible drummer, and I knew that. Everybody knows that. But then we've had the opportunity to meet him.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy is the epitome of cool. Like,
right.
If you've ever seen the commercial for the world's most interesting gentleman.
The Dos Equis commercial.
Yeah, the Dos Equis guy.
The most interesting man in the world.
I'm glad you know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I've been trying to explain this to people. People are like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
All right, Dos Equis guy. Ash.
Yes.
Like, I bet that dude sailed around the world in his boat, you know. He sits in his recliner with his pet lion and his wood stove behind him. He has a pet pig, by the way.
Makes sense. One of the smartest animals in the world that you can...
you got to ask him. Ask him about his pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking... we've been talking a lot about pigs.
Hey, well, and any drummer that Cher hits up to record her album via satellite, I mean, enough said, right?
Adele.
Yeah.
Set Fire to the Rain. I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Billy Idol.
And we have the pleasure of being friends with him.
Yeah, exactly.
What in the world?
Quite an honor
it is, dude. We have the coolest jobs in the world.
Well, I'm such a fan too, because all his reggae shit that he posts, jamming from
Woo!
His studio.
Man.
Well, that's what someone said the other day at the Zildjian Live thing. There, it's like almost more the shit that he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Is almost better than the shit he does play.
I know.
Space is like.
I know.
Like I just got chicken skin in Hawaii. We call it the chills, chicken skin.
I know.
But you know what I mean?
It's Gakong. Like. Oh, I know. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve Gadd.
Yeah.
All
it's
right,
like
man.
It's like you're about to fall down and he just grabs you and saves you and you're just like,
yeah. It's like you're having that nightmare and you're falling. Yeah. And then it becomes a dream.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And there he is.
Yeah. So amazing, though.
So we've been successful in talking about every other drummer but us, which is awesome. That makes for a good podcast.
Well, and that's also a lot funner. But what do you have going as far
what
as
I have going on?
Right now with one of those three, whether it be touring with August Burns Red, making an album with August Burns Red, or instructing? What do you have going on right
question.
Now? Or,
lots of good questions. Man.
I'm
going home. I'm doing a clinic for, it's called Beating Drums to Battle Cancer. It's a fundraiser.
Sick.
There's a 5-year-old girl in my hometown named McKenna, and she has cancer for the second time.
Oh,
we're going to raise a bunch of money.
Awesome.
We're going to raise a bunch of money. We're
going
to make it happen.
Where can people find out more about
you can, just for
money.
Now, follow me on Instagram. I'll be posting about it, at Matthew Greiner.
Nice.
Thank you. Second of all, we're going on tour with Killswitch Engage, March and April.
Okay.
It's a full U.S. tour. If you want to come out to it, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I would love to.
And then we have a new record coming out in not long after that.
Nice.
Doing some clinics around the world this year, and then some touring in Europe and... hopefully other continents as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
And just like festival touring in Europe and
festival touring. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So a lot of shows, the record's done. So no recording, but it's coming out.
Where'd you guys record the record?
We recorded it in Pennsylvania where we've done our last two.
Okay.
With the same producers. So it turned out.
Who's the producer?
Actually better than expected. Grant McFarland and Carson Slovak. They've done our last two records.
Okay.
And, man, we love working with them. They're just, They're close to home. They're really invested in the music because of course their name's on it. But like they really care and they go above and beyond.
Nice.
You know.
Are all you guys in the studio the whole time?
No. So I spent 10 days on drums. Most of the guys stayed at home for that till the end.
Yeah.
Guitars took like weeks.
You record the guide tracks or what do you?
I do.
Is that just a little guitar? Is a vocal or?
It's actually. It was actually the final track. I tracked drums last. So I tracked
like a good old pop record.
Yeah.
I remember actually hearing an interview with Ash talking about all the pop music that he does. It's always the last thing to track is drums where it's usually the first thing
it's
to
usually
track
the first
in rock, like the rock world,
it's
I guess.
It's weird, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So like guitars are tight. They sound awesome. You know, vocals weren't in.
Well, it's more like playing a live show.
What's that?
It's probably more like playing a live
it
show
because
you got the whole band, the whole
It is. And I know what I'm doing so much so that I could play to a click and do the song.
Gotcha.
Like, I know every part.
Right.
But the guitarists help as far as, like, feeling and, like, laying in. Really, like, you know,
right.
hammering down.
Yeah, totally. What is her name to the record yet?
Can't say it.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's not the name of the record, but
no,
I can't say it.
Copy that. Copy that. And this will be how many? What number studio record for you guys?
800? No, it's. I think it's 8. I think it's our 8.
Nice. That's what we just put out, our 8th in June.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
We are the luckiest guys.
We honestly,
we're still getting to do this. I mean, I started the band in 03.
Yeah, yeah. We started in 97 and on the Big Island of Hawaii and came over to San Diego in 99.
99 you came over?
Did Warped Tour in 2001 for the first time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who was on Warped that year? That would have been cool.
It's like Pennywise, NoFX, I think Flogging Molly, Newfound Glory.
Ooh.
It was just like the pop punk thing had just hit real big, you know what I mean, at that point.
Yeah.
So,
Blink-182
had just finished, like, they were too big at that point. They came back and did one, like, big show where they brought their own trucks and their own production to, like, the Minneapolis stop of Warped Tour, and they didn't play on either of the two main stages. They set up their whole, like, production with the original big the fuck sign that just said fuck. I think, or did it say fuck Blink?
That's incredible.
Yeah, so.
Incredible.
But anyway, well, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to tie up
thanks for
the
having
rest
me.
Of your day, man.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Matt, thanks. So,
yeah.
So where can everyone find you again? It's Matthew Griner.
At Matthew Griner on Instagram. If you live in Pennsylvania or the Tri-City area and you want to come out and support this event, we're going to do a clinic, and then we're actually just going to sit and talk about the importance of music, importance of drumming, and just kind of rally some positivity around this idea of fighting back against cancer and this 5-year-old girl named McKenna.
Yeah, everyone, you know, it's such a shame when you hear stories like that, but it's so beautiful to see people pull together and have such good energy. So that's so awesome.
It's powerful.
Everyone go check out Matt online. And then the band's website?
The band is augustprinsred.com or at augustprinsred on Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome, thanks so much for having me, dude.
No,
it was a lot
aloha,
of fun.
Brother. No, thank you,
you
so
know,
much.
I think this is the most cathartic thing I've done the entire NAMM experience.
Nice.
It's just kind of nice and relaxed amidst the sea of drumming.
Yeah, and they've got real less is more in back here. It used to be a bunch of pictures. Now it's just the logos.
Classic.
It's just real real tranquilo.
I love it.
You know? So.
Love it. Yeah. Woo,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, God, talk about.
Sheesh.
Shit, pinch.
Man.
Pinch yourself on that one. All right. Right on, Matt. Well, thanks so much for being on Disposable Heroes, brother.
Thanks, fam.
All right.
What's up, guys? Thanks again for joining us on another epic episode of Disposable Heroes. I gotta admit, one of my favorite moments to date on Disposable Heroes was the bit about Ween today. And thank you, Matthew Griner, for that bit of brilliance. Thanks so much, guys. It continues to be so much fun. So, it's on. Enjoy. And remember, without you, I couldn't be me. Chee!